The following audio content is from a class taught by Tim Smith in the Water From Rock weekly classes. For more information, see our website, waterfromrock.org.
How would you like to live more freely? How would you like to live more lightly? How would you like to live free of any sense of guilt? How would you like to live free of any worry as to whether or not you've done enough? How would you like greater power for becoming more and more that person that you've always wanted to be? Well, that's what we're talking about today in our series on the Holy Spirit, as we're looking at that wonderful passage in Galatians chapter 5 about being powered by the Holy Spirit. God never intended humanity to live independently of Him. But God created us and redeemed us that moment by moment we might live in a oneness, that we might live our lives in Him and God in us. So this is a wondrous theme, and it comes within the context as the Apostle Paul is talking about our freedom as Christians. A text is always needed to be looked at within the context of the whole passage. And this is a passage about freedom as Paul seeks to emphasize. He pounds the pulpit a time or two. He seeks to emphasize that Christ has set us free. And he is exhorting us to stand fast in that freedom. Don't be moved for that. And so that's why I printed out the entire Galatians 5 passage, so that you could see that everything that we talk about today in regards to being powered by the Spirit, it has to do with living out our freedom that is in Christ. As in chapter 5, there in the first verse, he says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And this means freedom from the law, freedom from guilt, freedom from license, freedom from the power of sin and death. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So, as Paul is talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, we see that it is about freedom, living as free people. And we're going to see that without the leading and sustaining power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to fall back into slavery to legalism, or fall back into the slavery of license. Fall back into the slavery of trying to earn the favor of God that Jesus Christ has already won for us. That's a danger of legalism. Well, when I was a young Christian, I thought, okay, Jesus has saved me, now I've got to keep myself saved. You know, by keeping the rules and the law. And that's slavery. And so Paul wants us to know that we are free from legalism, and we're also free from license. You want to see what license looks like? Look at the United States of America, our culture. Sin leading to more sin. Okay. And so I experience in my own life what I think perhaps a lot of Christians has experienced. Okay, I finally realize I'm free from legalism. Whoopee, I'll do anything I want to do, which is license. And actually, it's actually a very self-defeating, miserable way of life. So in the context of today's passage, Paul is dealing with the Galatians and their legalism and their license. And both are opposed to living the life of the Holy Spirit. So notice there in verse 4, he's talking about how some of the Galatians have gotten into legalism. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourselves off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So if I think I earn favor with God, or I'm justified with God, or I'm saved by my keeping a law, a code, I've fallen from grace. I've missed what grace is all about. But there's also the danger within that church of license. Verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. I've seen that among many Christians. You know, I'm not under the law. I can do whatever I want to do. Self-indulgence. So, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. Interesting phrase, isn't it? So God wants you and me to be free from legalism. Boy, that's a sigh of relief. And to be free from license. I'll just do anything I want. I rather want to be under the Holy Spirit. So in today's text, Paul points Christians not to life under the law, which frankly gets promoted in a lot of churches and Christian and they think it's being an extra good Christian. Okay? He points not to life under the law or life in license. I also see that celebrated in churches. Oh, you know, no law, we do whatever we like to do. But rather he points to the exhilarating freedom of life in the Holy Spirit. Paul explains in today's passage, being guided and powered by the Spirit in our life as God's new creations. If any person is in Christ, he's a new creature. And the Holy Spirit is the power for that new kind of life. And in today's text, we have to face up to what is an inner conflict that is present in every one of us this morning who are believers in Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us something about you, it tells us something about me, what is going on within us, and that is there is an inner conflict. Some of you feel it very keenly this morning, as I certainly do. In verse 16, then, of Galatians 5, he says, live by the Spirit. We'll talk more about that. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh is our old sin nature. That's what I am apart from Jesus Christ. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. Have you ever felt that inside of you? I do. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. There is this inner battle to prevent you from doing what you want to do. I want to live the righteous life. I want to serve Christ, and I can't by myself. That's what he's saying here. There is within me desires of my old sin nature. There is within me desires to be very selfish. Desires to act with evil. That's the old sin nature. That's the old Tim Smith. And there is within me the Holy Spirit who says, whoa, I'm here to make you live that new life. So note here that we experience the inner conflict of the Holy Spirit's opposition to the flesh. Some people act like they want some spectacular experience of the Holy Spirit, some kind of ecstatic experience, It's the Holy Spirit that you are experiencing inside of you when the Holy Spirit says, no, I don't want to go there. That's the faithful, loving ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we experience the inner conflict of the Holy Spirit's opposition to the flesh, our old sin nature, what we are apart from Christ's redeeming work, and our flesh's opposition to the Holy Spirit. The strong desires of the Spirit. You've got some strong desires in you by the Holy Spirit. You, like me, also have some strong desires in you that come from the flesh, the sin nature. So that Paul says, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. Paul knows what he's talking about because he's talking from his own life experience as the great Apostle Paul. Compare with me in your notes there over in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Paul says, I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. That's my sin nature. That is what I am apart from Christ. I know that, Paul says. I know that that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. I might be able to fake it. I might be able to go through the motions, but you know what? I can't do it. You don't have to raise your hand in agreement here, but I know the experience. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. This is the great Apostle Paul, the saint. Now, if I do what I do not want, I like this. It is no longer I that do it, but the old sin nature, the old Tim. It is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I would encourage you to become very sensitive to this battle that does rage within us, so that we can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so he goes on in verse 21, so I find it to be a law. The word there, law, has the idea of principle, okay? So I find it to be a law, a principle, that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, in my new self in Christ. I really delight in God's law. But I see in my members another principle, another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am. I hope you've felt that at times. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Okay. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he just blurts out, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's his answer. Okay. So then with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God. But with my sin nature, my flesh, I'm a slave to the law of sin. Ignore the chapter division. Paul didn't put it there. Therefore, here's the good news. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The fact that I have desires in me, I wonder, boy, where did those come from? You know? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, there are two Greek words in the New Testament that are translated as condemnation. The first word is krima, which means a judicial verdict. The judge or the jury says, you're guilty. That's krima. Katakrima, which means to judge down, means the actual execution of that judgment. That's the guillotine. that's the gas chamber, or that's the cross. He says, notice, he uses that word, there is therefore no now execution of judgment. There is no katakrima, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that I have within me these sinful desires that you have, that are at war with the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit, or the principle, if you will, for the law, our principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the principle, the law of sin and death. I love to stand outside and watch a 747 taking off. It is defying a law, isn't it? The law of gravity, which says you're stuck to the ground. There is a higher law, the law of aerodynamics, that enables it to fly. Notice what he says there in verse 2. For the law or the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from that downward pull, gravity of the law of sin and death. Yeah, Paul, you've got that struggle. There's no condemnation. There's a greater principle. There's a greater law. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. For God, verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh. You know, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemned katakrima, sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Because of Jesus Christ, the Father looks at you and says, you're perfect. You're righteous. Because your life is in Christ. So that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the sinful desires of the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So you see here, Paul is saying, you know, don't go back into legalism. Don't go back into license. I see both of those in our churches. I've seen both of them in my life. Don't go back into that slavery, but walk according, live according to the Spirit. So Paul says, along with every other saint or believer who has wrong desires, he says that we do not come under condemnation. That helps me a little more honestly to look at what's going on inside of me. Jesus doesn't say, oh boy, I don't want to look there. As long as we are in this life, we will not outgrow this inner conflict. I had hoped one day that I would. But the flesh will war against the Spirit, and the Spirit will war against the flesh. So I'm thankful to God for those moments that I feel the Holy Spirit pushing back hard, because that's a charismatic experience of the Spirit, if you will. The Holy Spirit at war with the flesh. So neither Romans 7 or 8 that we looked at just a moment ago, nor today's text say that if we live in the Spirit, we will outgrow the desires of the flesh. I love Christians being able to come together and honestly speak of the battle that they find themselves in. Our flesh and the Spirit continue to oppose each other. The most mature Christian will have sinful desires. It is not a sin to have the desires. It is sin to give in to them. That's why the Holy Spirit is here. I was kind of raised in a tradition. Of course, you know, a young mind can really mess up messages, but I was kind of raised in the tradition that if I had sin in my life, I had to get all that taken care of before the Holy Spirit would help me. And then I realized if I could do that myself, I didn't need the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is there within you and me to oppose the flesh. So we look to the powerful Spirit of God within us. You might really be struggling with a sin today. Those desires might be very strong. God's not surprised. God is not put off. But he wants you to look to the Spirit. Look at that wonderful verse, Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It takes God to change my want to will. It takes God to work that out in my life. I remember my mind goes all over. I remember when our oldest son, Rhett, was a wee little guy. And he came in rushing into the room all excited with his diaper to show us what he had made. I can go to God with my stuff, and the Holy Spirit will help me. But I have to go to him. And he will work in you, he says, enable you both to will. Lord, I really don't want to do what you want me to do, but I'm willing that you make me to be willing. Okay? To work within you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I cannot use the flesh to oppose the flesh. So I can do more than confess my sins to God. I can talk to God about my sin and my desire to deal rightly with it as I look to him for power and guidance. So there were times in my life when I thought, you know, I couldn't really go to God to talk about this stuff because, you know, I need to get that cleaned up. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. So living, let me go on here. The Galatian Christians, by their behaviors, are showing that they are giving in to the opposition of the flesh. Verse 15 of the fifth chapter. If, however, you bite and devour one another, do we do that in churches?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. If you bite and devour one another, that's, by the way, that's the flesh acting. That's legalism and it's license. If, however, you divide and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. You don't just eat each other up. I've seen churches where Christians eat each other up. You know? It's like my professor said, the church is like Noah's Ark. If the storm wasn't so bad on the outside, you couldn't stand the stench on the inside. And Paul is dealing with that in the Galatian church, and he knows the problem comes from legalism and it comes from license. Both of them cropping up in the church. And that's slavery. Stand free and walk by the Spirit. So, living freely by the Spirit of God, being powered by the Holy Spirit. And I think there are three key verbs in today's text that speak to this for us. Verse 16, live by the Spirit. Verse 17, but if you are led by the Spirit, and then the next verse, verse 18, if we live by the Spirit. So living by the Spirit, he uses two different words that we'll speak to. It's living by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. That's how we live freely. That's how we're freed from legalism. I freely say I'm a Pharisee in recovery. I still have to deal with it. but how to be freed from the legalism, freed from the license. He says, first of all, in verse 16, to walk, and he uses the Greek word peripateo. Maybe you've heard of a peripatetic teacher or peripateo, where we walk around. That's the word here. To live by the Spirit. I'm thankful for grandchildren who remind me of what it's like to learn to walk. I remember the first steps of a couple of our grandkids. You know, they're holding on, and they're stepping out, and they take a step and they fall. We learn to walk how? By walking, by doing it. We fall down, and we get up. We fall down, and we get up. I live in reliance on the Holy Spirit. So that's the first verb there. The second verb, verse 17, he says, but there are different kinds of conditions in grammar. This is a first-class condition. For the sake of argument, I'm going to say if, but it's really since, okay? Since you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject. He surprises me here. Since you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. I would have thought he would have said flesh. But importantly, Paul sees legalism actually as fueling the flesh. Boy, I've seen that in churches. I've seen it in my own life. The more we lay down the laws, the more flesh is stirred up. So Paul sees law as legalism actually fueling the flesh. This happens as we seek to establish our own righteousness and not to need the Spirit. There was a time in my life where I didn't want to have to need grace. You know, I'm going to be so good that God's not going to have to give me grace. Or I'm going to be so good that I'm not going to need the Holy Spirit. Then I can go to the Holy Spirit and say, help me. So he says, if or since you were led by the Spirit, you're not subject to law. To the law of Moses or to any law of any church, you're not subject to that law. Let me stop here a moment. I believe it's proper for churches to have covenants with each other, things that we seek to live by, but you know what I'm saying. To be led by the Spirit is a mark of the Christian. Just the other day, I had to say to the Holy Spirit, I don't know how I'm going to navigate this in my life. Here, lead me. Lead me. So to be led by the Spirit is a mark of the Christian. See Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Galatians 5:18. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The Spirit of God within leads us in doing the moral will of God. When he talks about being led by the Spirit here, I don't think he's talking about, well, should I live in Phoenix or L.A.? Should I marry her or marry her? He's talking about the Holy Spirit leading us more and more into the moral will of God, leading us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. However, so the Spirit of God within leads us in doing the moral will of God. However, we can choose not to follow that leading. Done it. The Holy Spirit is always leading me into greater Christ-likeness if I pay attention. So if we are under the Spirit's leading, we are not under law because we cannot have two masters. I don't need you, law. I've got the Spirit. So through the Holy Spirit, we defeat the powerful desires of the flesh. We do grow in Christ's likeness. So we have walk by the Spirit, peripateo, just the common word for walking, which modern translators call, you know, live by the Spirit. And then in verse 18, he says, if we live, and he uses a different word for walk or live. It's the word stoicheo. If we live by the Spirit, stoicheo carries the thought of walking in line, marching to the beat of a different drum, marching to the beat, following another's directions. So we keep in step with the Spirit. We keep in spirit, keep in step. I love the story of the proud mother who went down to watch her son march in the Army Day parade, and she says, oh, I'm so proud of Johnny. Everybody was out of step except him. So stoicheo, live by the drumbeat of the Spirit. Well, then, do you remember Linda Ronstadt? The song, what was the song? We all march
different drum.
To, yeah, different drum.
You
okay.
And I.
Travel to the beat of a different drum, okay. I know I can always call on Weldon for that. But this is it. Verse 16, walk peripateo by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. Here, it's keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit is warring against the sinful desires of the old person. And keep in step with the Spirit. So being led by the Spirit is not passivity, but by prayer, by meditation on God's word, by being focused on Christ, we are led along by the Holy Spirit into greater Christ-likeness. 2 Corinthians 3:18, that as we focus upon Jesus Christ, we are transformed from one stage of glory to another stage of glory, and this is by the Spirit. Tim Smith thinking that I could be like Jesus is the flesh, the Holy Spirit does that work in our lives. Conclusion. The behaviors resulting from not living and being led by the Spirit are the works of the flesh. If we are embracing legalism, our license, the works of the flesh will characterize our lives. Verse 19, in your notes are in the text. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. You can walk into a church and tell that the flesh is at work. You can walk into a family. I can walk into myself and see, he says, because they're obvious. There's fornication. He was really going against the flow in the first century Greco-Roman Empire to say that. Impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, it's kind of the outburst of anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions. Wow, he's been in church. Envy, wow, we don't do that, do we? Drunkenness, carousing, and things like that. When he says things like that, he says, you know what, the list could go on. There's more in ways in which the flesh, apart from the Spirit, manifests itself. You know, some of those sins I look at and I feel, okay, I'm doing okay. But boy, he really goes to preaching when he talks about strife and jealousy and anger and quarrels and factions. That's evidence. He says it's obvious that it's the flesh that's at work. And then he sticks in the next line that we'll talk about in a moment. As I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, some of those sins I think, okay, I'm doing okay, I'm home free. Some of the others I think, oh my goodness. But notice here the difference between works and fruit. Work denotes effort. I'm trying to live this Christian life, excuse me, I'm trying to live this Christian life by myself. There's effort. Fruit is what? It's the outgrowth of life. The works of the flesh versus the outgrowth of the life of the Spirit of Christ. Okay. How can we tell if we're living and being led by the Spirit? We will exhibit the fruit, and he makes it a singular one. We will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. By contrast, verse 22, in contrast to the flesh manifesting itself, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are there times that you are aware of the Holy Spirit within you pushing for that in opposition against the flesh? And he says, oh, by the way, that's not against the law, any of those. There is no law against such things. You are fulfilling the law with a life like that. This is the character of Jesus. You don't want to know what Jesus was like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. When I was a young minister working on a church staff for a summer Bible study on Wednesday nights, it was thought, well, let's go through the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll assign each staff person a different fruit. Okay, so this week, I've got to work on goodness. Okay, that's my talk. And this is how we, this is, Jeannie, this is how you be good. Whatever. And looking back on that, I think that was all about the flesh. It was all about the flesh. And not about the Spirit, who produces the fruit of the Spirit. I like to think about there's two ways to make grapes. I love grapes. They're one of my favorite fruit. Costco has these great big grapes. Yeah. If I want grapes, I can go down to Michael's, and we have some wonderful artists here, but I could go down to Michael's and I could buy some paper and some glue and some wire and whatever, and I could make grapes. And there are some people that can actually make grapes that look real, where you'd want to pick up one and then you bite into it and you realize it's not real. The best way to have grapes is to go to the vine and get the grapes. And so try as I want to, I cannot produce genuine love and joy and peace. I can fake it. I can put on my smile when I go to church and everybody thinks that I have it. But it's fake. Only by living by the Spirit, only by being led by the Spirit, only by keeping in step by the Spirit. I was thinking about this in just very personal terms. I hope you'll excuse me, become very personal, speaking to some of the people here, that I am a member of a wonderful church that after 2 months lost our new pastor. After a year long of wonderful work by a wonderful search committee, it all just went wrong in 2 months. And there's all kinds of feelings about it. And I feel within me the Spirit opposing the flesh and the flesh opposing the Spirit. How do people within a church respond? Our church is not the only church that's gone through things like that, or the only family that goes through things like that, or the only marriage that goes through things like that. I have a decision to make. As there is this war in me of the spirit and the flesh, I either do what the flesh says to do, or I follow the leading of the spirit, which is love, which is joy, which is peace, all these things. So that, as I look at the works of the flesh, so that there is no enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions. We want to be led by the Spirit. Okay, an addendum. I had to look up what that word means, but I throw that in there. Something added on. Because I look at that stern warning that Paul gives about those who are not living by the Spirit, who exhibit the works of the flesh. He says, I'm warning you. We don't tolerate that kind of preaching today. I'm warning you. As I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, it's kind of scary. Okay, I know I'm not involved in sorcery. I'm not involved in fornication. I am involved in sometimes in dissensions and factions and anger and whatever. I'm going to say today that scripturally there is a difference between inheriting the kingdom of God and being in the kingdom. Believers are already citizens of heaven, Paul says. They're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. To live as heirs of the kingdom in the here and now, to live as heirs of the kingdom is a present tense experience of our kingdom rights and to receive future eternal rewards. So the difference between inheriting and being in the kingdom. To live according to the flesh is to forfeit our joy of being God's children. Living according to the flesh kills our experience of the new life. He's not saying to the Galatian Christians that they're not believers, that they're not of the kingdom, but you're right, you guys are missing out what it means to rule with Christ, inheriting the kingdom. I'll close with this. One of the most helpful books to me early on in my Christian life was a book by the Chinese Christian Watchman Nee, The Normal Christian Life. And he makes the point that the normal Christian life is not the average Christian life, okay? But it's the normal life in Christ. And he talks about, as a little boy growing up in China, he was at a church retreat. And he's standing alongside one of the great rivers of China, and he's watching men swim out in the river. And at one point, he sees a man who he's flailing. He appears to be drowning. And he's going down, and Watchman Nee doesn't know how to swim. And the man standing next to him that he knows to be a very good swimmer just stands there. And Watchman Nee wonders, why don't you do something to help him? And finally, when that swimmer went down for the third or fourth time and was under, then the man standing beside him was quick into the water to swim out there and to bring him back to safety. And the little boy, Watchman Nee, he was angry, and he says, why did you wait so long? And the man said, I knew there was still too much fight within him, that if I tried to bring him to safety, he'd pull me under. And Watchman Nee suggests that there is still too much of self within some of us before the Holy Spirit can really say, I'm here. I'm here to help. In this powerful life of living by the Spirit, because God never created you to live by your own power in your own life, but to be part of the life of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.